Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. For why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live, for I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the people. Look at verse 6. And so seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. For let the wicked forsake his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This morning is a little bit difficult in a couple of ways. Have you moved yet? So the smallies there, they've moved to Bull Lane. They're downsized. They're going near to the daughter. And Tess here is moving tomorrow. All right. We're glad you've shared, both of you, spent your time with us. And we wish you every blessing as you go on your way. Either it's happened yesterday or it'll be happening now this morning. Alf Matthews will be having surgery. His condition has deteriorated this week and so on. So I want to just pray with these folk. And I want to explain something else. Last Sunday I talked about come and take and learn. And it was take the yoke. And what I was talking about, Ken, come up here a minute. Ken, come up here. Come up here. I was talking about that wooden bar that the farmer would put across the beast, the oxen. And so the young one would be attached to the old one. And the yoke was a kind of thing that would rest on your shoulders and hold it together. And that was the yoke I was talking about, because I was telling you that Jesus said, come to me and take my yoke upon you, because alongside him, we'll pull together. And just as the farmer would take the old animal and the young animal so they could pull together, so Jesus puts his yoke on us so we can pull together with him. Okay, thank you for helping me. Let me pray with you now. Buy. He wants you to come to him and buy and buy. And that's his day. That's his job. That's what keeps his business going. And he's shouting because he wants to attract everyone's attention. And it's not strange the way he does it. If you go to any market, anywhere, you'll find people who are doing just that. And you know what? Isaiah 55 is that kind of image of God standing there like, here's my market store. Here's what I've got on offer. Here's what I want to show you is available to you. And God shouting to us, come, 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 and buy, buy, buy. And when if we will look at the what's on display, you go back to chapter 53 and you will see the amazing thing said about the Lord Jesus Christ, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon him. With his stripes, we're healed. God says, have a look. Have a look. And chapter 53 will be all about the wonderful work of the cross. And it's the greatest treasure in all the universe, because he's paying the price for the sin of humanity. It's the only way it could open the way to heaven. I'm going to talk to you a little bit on Tuesday night about justification, because that's the key to the Reformation. And here is 53 of Isaiah. Here's the justifier, so that we can say it's just as if we've never done it. We are acquitted before God. And he's the anointed one. He's the only begotten. Incredible phrases used to describe the Lord Jesus. And you'd think, with the Bible showing you something like that, there would be no need to shout for buyers. Everybody would be making a queue and a lineup and say, that's what I want. That's what I need. He must be my Savior. I must get right with God. Jesus died for me. I'll make him mine. But it doesn't happen like that. Because the invitation goes out again. Come, buy and eat. And what I wanted to do was transcend all the passing years of time and say to you, do you hear the echo? Listen, do you hear it? That God is still saying the same thing to us. It's an invitation to you. If you asked me what else was on the store, that's why I said you ought to read chapter 54, because verse 7 says there's everlasting love and kindness on display. God's love for people like us is forever kind of love. If you look at verses 11 and 12, everything's being rebuilt with precious stones, anything you care to name, and it's free. It's a bit of heaven and the likeness of heaven in your life and in mine here and now. And if you get to verse 14 of chapter 54, a righteousness is established and no weapon formed against you will prosper. So you have security and you have protection by God himself. See, there is no market stall like the gospel stall. And all of this prepares for chapter 55 to start with this great invitation. And I live, and you live, in a confused, agitated, mixed up, troubled, crazy world. And God wants to offer our world and everyone in it forgiveness and peace and comfort and faith. It says in verse 11 of chapter 54, you'll be able to sing again. God wants to put a song back into people's lives. And the whole thrust is how you can expect great blessings on your life. So you read on and you get to get about verse 10. And he says you don't have to be afraid. You can know the guarantee that God's right there with you and will bless you. And God will keep his word and his covenant is sure. And tough times may be frightening you. And it's hard to go through the furnace and the fire. But the best is yet to come because God will make all the difference in your life. There's a remarkable statement if you've been reading through the Bob Goss thing. You've come through Jeremiah into Lamentations. And there's a remarkable statement in Lamentations. It's a lament. We haven't learned really how to grieve. And many of the Psalms are laments. Don't try and put David here in our time with a lament. A lament is where you express what's in your heart. And Jeremiah has seen the city ravaged and devastated and destroyed. He has chosen. He's put his arm around Gedaliah and says, I think it's about verse 9, chapter 9. I wished I'd got the wings of the dove. I just want to get away. I don't want to be anywhere here. I don't want to be involved in all that's going on. And the king says, do you know, for all you prophesied, for all that you did, for all that you were, you can come and live with me in the king's palace. And he says, no, I'll stay here with the people of God. Puts his arm around Gedaliah and he goes, now, he's in Lamentations. He's making his lament. You see the ashes. You see the smoke. You see the city devastated. And he's sitting on a curbside. And he says, the compassions of God are new every morning. I went and picked it up in the Good News Bible. I like the way it says some things. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. You understand that, don't you? Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunlight. Your life, my life, is divided into days by the blessing of going to bed, of having sleep. So we are refreshed. And in the morning, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, you get up with a strength and a determination. And it's a new day. And you have new opportunities. And there are new things to do. And there are new paths to tread. But it's not just a new day. It's a moment for God's love to fill every moment of your life and of your heart as you follow him. It's a chance. It's this new day that's fresh as the morning and as sure as the sunrise. It's a chance for God to make you and to make me what he wants us to be. So we will be a blessing and we will be a joy to everyone we meet. So that you and I, that we will be a pleasure to talk to sit down with, to do business with, to walk hand in hand with. And that's the gospel offer. And so he says, come, 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 buy, buy, buy. Let's talk about the offer. You see, it's a life-changing invitation. And when you talk about this offer that God is making to humanity as a whole and to us as individuals, the offer describes man, describes us, describes in these terms, he or she that has no money. And the buyer, the prospective buyer, is described in considerable detail. It's almost as if you caught a CCTV camera in the shopping mall, and it's being played back to you, and there you are. It's our picture on the screen, and it's got this poignant, this telling phrase, you who have no money. Now, among the Jews of New Testament times, of Palestine particularly, the whole idea existed that if an individual had money, they were at a great advantage with regard to heavenly things. You could do this, you could do that with your money. You could buy God's favor and God's reward. And Jesus comes along and explodes that myth and says how difficult it will be for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. So they say, hey, Jesus, stop at that. Who then can be saved? It invoked this incredible response from them. If the rich can't make it, then none of us will. And Jesus wants to let us know that God has another way of doing things. You're not disadvantaged because of what's in or not in your pocket. Because the poor have the gospel preached to them, says Jesus. And the wonder of the glory of the gospel is that whatever God offers you is for free. But the great truth here in Isaiah is that predominantly this is a spiritual thing. It's a picture of an individual who's got no spiritual resources, no spiritual money in a sense to do business with God. There is nothing that this man or any man has that he can bring in order to barter with God. He can be honest. He can be a good neighbor. He can be a good friend. He can be reasonable. He can be moral. He can even be a churchman, if you like. It all counts for nothing because even our righteousness is as filthy rags. He has no money. He doesn't have a tender heart. He doesn't have faith. He seems so empty within. He's got nothing to trade with, nothing to do business with anyone, never mind do business with God. He has no money, spiritually. He can't pay his debts, spiritually. The things he's done, the things he's said, the actions and the attitudes, the neglect and the omissions of his life and his lifestyle. It's a whole long list. If you look at the man, he can't do a thing about the mess he's made in his living. He can't make amends. He has no money, no spiritual resources to pay his spiritual debts. He can't meet his present commitments and expenses. He can't have help today. Today's problems only activate today's prayers. He is desperately hungry for help and for grace and for mercy. And he's like the prodigal. He said, I perish. I'm hungry. And yet there's bread enough and to spare in my father's house. He's without money, spiritually. And he can't face the future because he's without money. In fact, he can hardly dare to think about tomorrow. He cannot think of what will happen on that final day. Those terrible moments when the trumpet will have summoned him to meet his Maker God and stand there to render his account. He dreads the thought. He has no money. He has no money. He has nothing that will pass for currency on the judgment day. So desperate, so incredulous a position. There's another picture in Luke 14. Poor, crippled, blind, and lame. There's another one in Revelation 3. Hold, I stand at the door and knock. You got nothing. Got nothing. And into that situation, to that person described in those terms, comes the offer. The person is described, and the offer is described. And the man now is directed, not just described, he's directed. Come, buy, and eat. Now it sounds crazy to offer a chance to buy something and to buy someone, and you haven't got anything. But that's the way Jesus works. That's the way God works. That's what this Bible is all about. Jesus never gave himself for the good things we do. He never gave himself for our righteousnesses. The Bible says he gave himself for our sins. Salvation depends on grace. That's the whole thrust of the Reformation. It's offered to people who are lost, people who need his grace, people who need his pity. If we were only little sinners, we would need a little savior. But when Jesus takes a man and looks at us, our needs can be as enormous, as tremendous as anything. And do you know what he does? When you come and you buy and you eat, he makes new people out of us. There's a song in the Sankey book. It goes like this. There is the wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. So there's the offer. What about the outcome? Well, he says, come and satisfy your thirst. Now, we all get thirsty. It's a common experience. It's a craving we understand. We get thirsty, especially when the sun is hot and the day is dry. And it's a craving. It's from within you. It's a deep thing within you. You can't explain it. But you know it. You're thirsty. Take that analogy into the spiritual realm. I'm living in a thirsty world. I'm living amongst thirsty people, not for a coffee or a cup of tea or a glass of water. But I see a world that is so thirsty. I see what they're doing to satisfy cravings that are searching from within the human heart. And they're using money. and they're acquiring possessions and position and prestige and power over others. They're thirsty for power. I see so many turning to addictions, whether it be alcohol or drugs. Nine sailors having to be taken off a nuclear submarine this last week because of their cocaine habits. They're there, the ones going to press the button. Thirsty for something that doesn't satisfy them. I look at people, this crazy, this frenzy for pleasure, for sensuality. So anything goes and nothing is gained. Thirsty. And I see God's people too, thirsty. We get dry and we get barren. The reasons vary, the results are the same. You know, when Jesus came and talked to that woman at the well at Sychar, it was to offer a drink of the living water. Here are the words, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. And the woman was changed immediately. Actually, she left her water pot and went to tell the others what had happened. And you know, there are times when I come here and I'm thirsty. And I reckon I look at you and you're thirsty too. We drink at the well of salvation. If you haven't done that, drink there this morning. But thirsty for a renewing. Thirsty for an empowering afresh of that Pentecost experience. Thirsty for a reviving that will sweep across the community and the nation. Come, if you're thirsty. So come and satisfy your thirst. Come and satisfy your hunger. Buy bread. Hunger pains, hunger pains trigger an alert system. A warning within you that you need nourishing food. Now, bread all over the world is a staple diet. It's not regional. It's not national. It's not a particular dish. It's not exclusive to any one country. Bread is a common thing everywhere I go. It may be different shapes, sizes, and so on, but it's always bread. You see, if you go to New York, it's a bagel. Go to France, it'll be the croissant. Go to Mexico, it'll be the tortilla. What's ours? Maybe the cottage loaf? Something like that. And spiritual hunger can only be satisfied with the bread of life. And Jesus says, I am that. And he's available anywhere and everywhere across the world. And he's here and he's now. And Jesus has to nourish and strengthen our hearts day by day. Not once in a while. Not just in certain months or at specific events. Bread can meet many needs. And Jesus can meet many needs while he's dealing with one. And the incredible thing is, while I preach, each of you will have a different response going on in your thinking and in your answering the questions that your thinking is already creating in your minds. And while I speak and tell you that Jesus is the bread of life for you, then it'll be a word that's very specific and certain for somebody who's lonely. Or somebody that says, I'm not making this. I'm not making this. I'm so weak. I want to be strong. And it'll be the bread that makes you strong. And some of you, or one of you, or many of you will say, my vision is dim. I don't know where we're going together as a, me as an individual, us as a church, my vision is dim. It's not clear. And Jesus will adapt himself to you while he's adapting to the lonely one and the weak one. You're just listening and thinking. And he's come to satisfy the hunger, the craving that you have within your heart. You see, because Jesus can meet every need and any need and your need. Each need. Don't look anywhere else. Don't try anything else. You know, Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those that are hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They will be filled. Because you'll be filled this morning. He'll satisfy your hungry heart. So come, satisfy your thirst. Come and satisfy your hunger. But if you listen to me as I read it through, or read it in your own Bible as we're going through, it says, let your soul, the King James says, let your soul delight in fatness. As I read it from the NIV, your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Come this morning and quench your thirst. Come this morning and satisfy your hunger. And come this morning and satisfy your soul. We don't have to be spiritually bankrupt. We don't have to be looking and laboring for things that don't satisfy. I'm living, you are living in a world that's good on the substitutes. So if you don't take sugar, you got a substitute for it. You don't take butter, you got a substitute for it. And they'll all tell you through your TV screens and all the advertising what you can have as the substitutes. And when I get to this book, I don't look for substitutes. Come and satisfy your soul. Come so that your soul will delight in the richest affair. The price is paid. The only currency that can be used is the currency of heaven. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The purchasing was done at Calvary. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. It's done. It's done. There's the currency. So let me just finish with three statements. If you need to, come and receive the pardon that Jesus offers. Make him your Savior, make him your Lord. It'll satisfy your soul. Come, if you need to experience his provision and presence day by day, just come. Thirsty and hungry, come. It'll satisfy your soul. Come and prove that Jesus' power is just as real and as dynamic and as vibrant and as explosive as this morning as it has ever been. That there are resources that he alone can give you. It will satisfy your soul. So come. Three times it says, come, come, come. Buy, eat, quench your thirst, satisfy your soul. Use the currency of heaven and be blessed this morning. And because you're blessed, because you come, you go out there and be a blessing to others. There's a lovely hymn in our book. You know, when I was on evangelistic programs, we'd have this as a regular. It's a Sweeper's hymn. 551. Listen to it. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. What for? Into your freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to you. Got a physical need? Out of my sickness, into your health. You got needs out of my want into your wealth. Out of my sin into yourself. Jesus, I come to you. 551. Really, say it with me. Come on, Jesus, I come to you. I come to you. You will mean everything that's going on in my life. I come to you. Now, I got challenged this week to look at another verse. It'll be maybe 2-3 weeks away. Looking and reading about the ark. And the invitation is, come into the ark. All you. And I was looking at the days of Noah. That's why I was there. And I thought, you know, in all the things that are going on, he's saying, come to where you can be safe with me. And that's a couple of weeks off. I have to work on it. Let me pray for you. And will you pray for me this week? Say, anoint this man. As only you can. So that right across that Rio Grande and so on of Brazil, there'll be those whose lives are changed because you allow me to go and be a blessing to them. Down into the Argentina too. Father, we just come. You just say again, Jesus, we come to you. And whatever the situation in every one of the folk here, you meet that right now. With your peace, with your favor, with your grace, with your blessing, with your enabling, and that you would send them home knowing victory, overcoming, direction, purpose, and a destiny in you that they can fulfill. So the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and lift his light, his smile resting upon you. So today and always, you'll know his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.